A reading from St. Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. For in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many as you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus.
Our reading from the Old Testament this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verses 2 to 15. There in the desert, they started complaining to Moses and Aaron. We wish the Lord had killed us in Egypt. When we lived there, we could at least sit down and eat all the bread and meat we wanted. But you have brought us out here into the desert, and we're going to starve. The Lord said to Moses, I will send bread down from heaven like rain. Each day the people can go out and gather only enough for that day. That's how I will see if they obey me. But on the sixth day of each week, they must gather and cook twice as much. Moses and Aaron told the people, this evening you will know that the Lord was the one who rescued you from Egypt. And in the morning you will see his glorious power, because he has heard your complaints against him. Why should you grumble to us? Who are we? Then Moses continued, you will know it is the Lord when he gives you meat each evening and more than enough bread each morning. He is really the one you are complaining about, not us. We are nobodies, but the Lord has heard your complaints. Moses turned to Aaron and said, bring the people together because the Lord has heard their complaints. Aaron was speaking to them when everybody looked out toward the desert and saw the bright glory of the Lord in a cloud. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard my people complain. Now tell them that each evening they will have meat, and each morning they will have more than enough bread. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God. That evening, a lot of quails came and landed everywhere in the camp. And the next morning, dew covered the ground. After the dew had gone, the desert was covered with thin flakes that looked like frost. The people had never seen anything like this, and they started asking each other, what is it? Moses answered, this is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. And our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 to 16, and we've been using the Contemporary English Version and continue in that. As Jesus was telling what the kingdom of heaven would be like, he said, early one morning, a man went out to hire some workers for his vineyard. After he had agreed to pay them the usual amount for a day's work, he sent them off to his vineyard. About 9 that morning, the man saw some other people standing in the market with nothing to do. He said he would pay them what was fair if they would work in his vineyard. So they went. At noon, and again at about 3 in the afternoon, he returned to the market. Each time he made the same agreement with others who were loafing around with nothing to do. Finally, about 5 in the afternoon, the man went back and found some others standing there. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. Then he told them to go work in his vineyard. That evening, the owner of the vineyard told the man in charge of the workers to call him in and give them all their money. He also told the man to begin with the ones who were hired last. When the workers arrived, The ones who had been hired at 5 in the afternoon were given a full day's pay. The workers who had been hired first thought that they would be given more than the others. But when they were given the same, they began complaining to the owner of the vineyard. They said, "The ones who were hired last worked for only 1 hour, but you paid them the same as you did us, and we worked in the hot sun all day long." The owner answered one of them, "Friend, I didn't cheat you. I paid you exactly what we agreed on. Take your money now and go. What business is it of yours if I want to pay them the same as I paid you? Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Why should you be jealous if I want to be generous?" Then Jesus said, "So it is. Everyone who now is first will be last, and everyone who is last will be first." Amen.
Well, welcome, class. I see we have a number of new students today, but I'll try and explain what the assignments were that I think most of you have done. The assignments were based on the parable that we studied in the Bible. But before we get to that, I want to share something with you. A couple of times we've stayed with friends in their London house, and they have a beautiful garden which they care for very, very much. And we were able to stay in a room that overlooked the garden, and we often saw the beautiful birds that came and felt very much at home in their garden. I remember even seeing a woodpecker on one occasion. Well, we received a letter from our friends the other day, and I want to share part of that letter with you. Anne wrote, "We had blackbirds nesting in the clematis on our garage wall overlooking the patio. This ruled our movements. Not wanting to disturb the to-ing and fro-ing, we dodge in and out and didn't do gardening and only watered after 8:30 p.m. when they had retired for the night. I didn't even put washing out to dry as my whirly gig was in their flight path when they left the nest and returned. The outcome of a 1 month vigil was one baby, but my, it was big. The nest is beautifully made. It was well worth the inconvenience to witness the working pair of birds. It was a pity we were not around when the fledgling left the nest, but we think it was probably around dawn." And what struck me, class, about that particular note was they observed the working pair. They were hard at work building the nest, preparing for a new arrival. And it reminded me, as we studied this particular text for our assignments, that there was work. A whole day's work, which involved people who started very early in the morning and those who came very late in the afternoon. But you remember, in this assignment, I ask you to use a particular Bible. It's called the Poverty and Justice Bible. And there's a bit of a story that I want to share with you, class, because some years ago, when Jim Wallace, who was one of the founders of the Sojourners community in Washington, D.C., was in seminary, he and some colleagues took hold of an old Bible and they started to cut out all the verses that referred to being poor or justice. And they cut out over 2,000 verses and they finished up with a very holy Bible. And this Poverty and Justice Bible was welcomed by Reverend Jim Wallace. And I have a quote that he says something like, "We welcome this where the verses have been put back into the Bible." And in fact, the producers of this Bible have actually highlighted those particular verses in orange. And if you flip through this Bible, as you did when you did your assignments, didn't you? Thank you very much. I'm glad you did. That you'll see there's a lot of material here that kind of says, well, maybe God is just a little concerned about those who are poor and matters of justice. So that brings us to the text. This is such a familiar story. You've all read it over and over the years. It's a story about a man who was quite well off. He had a vineyard, and the day came when the harvest needed to be got in. Needed to be got in that day. So this was the desperation that he showed in calling people to work right throughout the day to make sure by the end of the day the harvest was well and truly in. So far, so good. And the question in the assignment was, is this a parable of grace or is it a parable of judgment? Carol, I remember you were saying that you thought it was a parable of grace, that the owner lavishly paid the workers who worked the least the same as those who'd worked the most. But then I think, Bob, you were saying something like, well, it's a parable of judgment, because grace, you thought, was something that made you feel good. But there's people in here that are complaining. And so there's a judgment on those who are complaining, because the owner of the vineyard turns to them and said, why are you jealous? Because I am generous. So there's a judgment as well, maybe, as grace. Now, it's interesting, because in one of the earlier translations, what Jesus actually is saying to those who are complaining, and we heard something about complaining in the Hebrew scripture that Bob read earlier. Why are we in this mess, blaming God? And so the complaining is in this particular parable as well. Our class, you remember, when you looked at it, did you pick that up, that it's is it a parable of grace or is it a parable of judgment? You know, parables are very interesting. They are stories that, make us think. And so as we think about this, we see that one of the earlier, maybe you didn't pick this up, but one of the earlier translations actually says the owner talks to these who are complaining and says, why are you looking at this with the evil eye? The evil eye? In Greek, that is ophthalmos poneros, the eye that looks badly at something. Let me give you an example. I think you may have picked this up in your research as well, but an example of this is the story where there's a young man who's been out and wasted his living, his life, and he comes home to his father, and he is very penitent. He wants to say, I'm sorry, you know, I've been a fool. But the father welcomes him and throws this lavish party and calls the older brother in. Hey, son, put down your hoe. Come inside. We're going to have a party, the biggest party this town has ever seen. Come and join. You know what you can do with your party, don't you? The ophthalmos poneros, the evil eye. It's said that the evil eye is that of the bookkeeper. Not the treasurer, the bookkeeper, the one who is looking at the figures. You know the phrase, the bottom line is, it's all about numbers. And it's about what people should or should not deserve. That seems to be pervasive of our society now. Those who are not working, do we not blame them? Well, class, what do you think? Is this a parable of grace? Is it a parable of judgment? Or maybe there's another example that you could have remembered. And that is the man who was a tax collector. Not the nicest person in town. In fact, one of the most hated. Up in a tree, espied by Jesus, yes, you remember that story, and he says, come down, Zacchaeus, I'm going to dine with you today. I imagine there were plenty of people with the ophthalmos poneros that day. What kind of a saviour is this who dines with such a fellow as that? Can you see that now in the story? Those who had worked the longest and the hardest are the complainants. If you look at the text again, you see that it is perfectly fair. Everyone has agreed to a fair day's wage. That's what they got. But at the end, it's Jesus who is the one telling the story, is pointing out the generosity of the one who gives. I don't think Jesus told stories just to give us information, just to tell us something. He told stories to get the adrenaline flowing, to make us think and to make us work out what it is that's going on here. Parables are something like looking in through a window and you see what's going on in the story. But then the window becomes a mirror and we see ourselves in the story. Now, in this particular story, my dear class, I want you to think about the context. The beginning of that story in this Bible is that Jesus was talking about what the kingdom is like. That is the kingdom that he was introducing, that he came to show. And that was the end of the story. And in the story, who gets paid first? At the end of the day, it's the one who came last, the ones who came last. Now, people have various ideas about why they were around and not getting any work. Maybe they were not too bright. Maybe they were just being lazy. Or maybe they were unemployed because of the system. Ring some familiar bells in today's society. They are given the opportunity to be part of that process of the harvest. And at the end, Jesus says, and the last will be first, and the first last. And Matthew, who recorded this story, I wonder if Matthew is saying, not only the cheats and the liars and the prostitutes, but the Gentiles. But the Gentiles. And when we see Jesus throwing or being in a party, who's there? He's there with the riffraff. He's there with those who are rejected by others. That's the kind of party that Jesus wants to be in. And the question for me is, do we want to be in that kind of party too? Or do we look at these sort of stories with the ophthalmos poneros, the evil eye, not wanting to join in with those who have been recipients of the gracious and generous love of God?